So what I'd like to invite you all to do is, if you have a copy of the scriptures or your phones or tablets, to turn to Colossians chapter 4. And I'm going to put on the screen our scripture for today, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. And you may remember that during the fall season, we had a series of sermons on the English side of things on the book of Colossians. And how many of you remember that? Maybe you don't now. But we focused on Christ and what it means to follow Christ in response to the gospel. And so our text this morning is Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. And you can see it on the screens. I'll project it as well in case you don't have your Bibles. Can you read this together with me in unison? Reading together. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Thank you. So, last month, we concluded our series on Colossians. This was the next to last passage that we looked at. And as I thought and prayed about what our year verse should be for this coming year, for the year we're in now, for 2017, I believe that God laid on my heart a verse out of this paragraph that we just read, that we studied together last month. And as I thought about this, it just seems to me that from time to time in the life of a church, as well as in our personal lives, there needs to be a wake-up call to some simple and some basic and some vital things. And so this morning, as we think about this passage in Colossians chapter 4, this paragraph, I offer you two things that just seem to be crystal clear above all else from this passage. Number one, our prayers can change people's lives. And that's the first thing. Our prayers can change people's lives. There are a number of people my wife and I pray for every day. A number of people in this church family, people in the world, for each of our kids and their spouses, because we believe that prayer can change things, can change people's lives, that prayer makes a difference in people's lives. So that's the first thing. Prayer can change lives. The second thing that seems crystal clear from this passage is that our prayers can change lives, but that we have a responsibility to present a life-altering message, and that message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was interesting what Bob Thorpe said earlier. I love what Bob said. Bob said, how did he say it? He said, say it again, Bob, about going to heaven. It was very eloquent. You said, I'm excited to go see Jesus, but I just, what was it? It's a win-win, but it was what you said about, I know where I'm going, it's just like, how am I going to get there? That it's kind of scary. And I think that resonates with all of us. We know where we're going, but the thought of, okay, so how do I get from here to there? But we have people who are scared to death who can't say like Bob did, it's a win-win because they need the gospel. And so we have the responsibility to present this life-changing message as the body of Christ. Our conversations with God, our prayers, hold the power to transform the way that people live, and we have the privilege of telling other people about the wonder of Jesus Christ, the fact that he gave his life for us. So Paul tells us how to pray. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. In other words, be persistent, be determined, continue in prayer. Don't give up. Don't grow weary when you pray. Persevere when you pray. Now, at the beginning of the year, some of us may have made New Year's resolutions. I won't ask for a show of hands. Like, you're going to exercise more. That's a common one. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to eat healthier. Have you ever heard those? And so here we are on day 16. And my encouragement to you is, even if you've had a season of bad days out of that 16, persevere. Devote yourselves to whatever it is that you want to seek to do and continue in it. And Paul says, be the same way about prayer. Next in this paragraph, we're told what to pray. And Paul says, would you pray that God would open doors for our message? The door that he's speaking of here evidently is closed. And this may suggest a number of things. It could suggest political opposition. It could suggest social obstacles. It could suggest cultural obstacles, educational obstacles to sharing the faith. Inclement weather, which we know very little about because of the grace of God in San Diego, but inclement weather, where my parents and my in-laws live today, right now, is being coated with a sheet of ice. And so their concerns are, will we lose our power? Will we lose our heat? And here we are, look at how gorgeous and magnificent it is. But for Paul, the obstacle may have been inclement weather that would hinder his travel to share the gospel and walk through open doors. It could have been any one of a number of factors that make evangelism difficult from a human perspective. It may be that Paul is asking God to just grant him a favor with those who have authority so that he gets access to the people and the places that he wants to go in order to present the gospel. In any case, as Paul writes this paragraph, he says that he believes that God is sovereign over all such circumstances in life, and that God, because of his power, his sovereign power, can remove any obstacle and overcome any resistance and restrain the enemies of faith when asked to do so through the prayers of his people. And you think about it. Here is the Apostle Paul, the great one, the one who wrote so many books in the New Testament, who's asking a group of new Christians. We learned that when we went through Colossians. These are Christians who have fresh faith. He's asking these baby Christians, these new Christians, would you please, please pray for me that God will open doors for the gospel? That's stunning to me that Paul, the great one, would ask these baby Christians, would you please pray for me? Paul refused to trust his skill, and he was a skillful, gifted man. He refused to trust his eloquence, and he was an eloquent man. He refused to trust his theological knowledge, and he knew a lot. He needed the prayers of other believers. It's almost as if he's saying, hey, Colossians, I'm helpless. I'm helpless if you don't pray for me. And what might Paul do should the door be opened? He has one goal and one purpose in mind, if God is pleased to open the door, and it's this: to proclaim the mystery of Christ. Now, this word mystery doesn't mean like a Sherlock Holmes mystery or some kind of murder mystery or a Sudoku puzzle mystery. Doesn't mean that. Paul usually uses this word mystery when he has in mind a truth that was formerly hidden, which has now come to light and been made known through Jesus Christ. And so the mystery that he speaks of, this mystery of Christ, is the revelation of what God has done in and through his Son, Jesus Christ, to make possible our atonement for sin and our forgiveness from sin. And so as I think about this paragraph and think about the year verse I'm going to give you in just a moment, when we lose our passion to see people won over to Jesus, we lose Jesus. When we lose our passion as the people of God to see people won over to Jesus, we lose Jesus. And so we pray that God will open doors of the hearts of those we come in contact with those people that you and I know that we come across every day who are outside the family of God. And so that leads me to our year verse. This is it. It's verse 3, except for the very end, which says, for which I'm in chains, because not one of us is in chains this morning. Not one of us is in jail. The last time I checked, you're all here, right? But Colossians 4:3, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. We want God to open doors for our message in 2017, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And so what I want us to do is I'm going to do what I did last year. we're going to learn this verse together. Now, how many of you remember how we started learning Acts 2:42 last year? How many of you were here and remember that? What did I do? Can anyone tell me? What did I do? I took a word away. Did it work? For some of you, more than others. That's okay. It's a tried and true way of doing this. And so we're going to do the same thing again. So we're going to read it 24 times. There are 24 words. And every time we read it, the next time we're going to drop a word, drop a word, drop a word, drop a word until we get to the end. So are you with me? So all you have to do is read what you see and remember the last word you dropped. Can you do that? Okay. I'm not convinced. Can you do that? Okay. So, and I'm not going to keep supporting you, so I'm going to read at the beginning, but then I'm just going to point to you to do it so that you can't hide behind my voice, okay? Because I want to hear you. I'm getting older, and I'm, you know, all that rock music I listened to when I was younger, it's that Motown music. So anyway, let's read together. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Got it? Okay, here we go.
And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And pray for us, too,
that God may
you're lagging. Pick up the energy level. Give yourselves a hand. So we skipped a couple because you're doing so well once you pick the energy level back up, like in the seventh inning. And so does anyone want to just stand and say it? Someone with a sharp mind. some younger person, older person, middle-aged person, some person, any one person want to just take a risk and get up and recite it? I see that phone back there. Someone's holding their phone up so I can see them. Okay, this is Sherry Schwier. Let's go, Sherry. Recite it. Thank you for your courage and bravery. May your tribe increase. So, I want to close by offering you a few highlights for early 2017. This isn't for the whole year, but just for the next season. So, here's the challenge, and I'm going to put this up. We want to share the gospel as a church family with at least 430 different people this year. Our verse is Colossians 4:3, and guess what I did? I just put a zero on it. That's brilliant, isn't it? Colossians 4:3, 430. So 430 different people. That means all of us together sharing the gospel in whatever way that's unique to us and unique to that relationship with a total of 430 people, and we want to keep up with this. So what we're going to do is, you see this door here? You just thought it was a straight door, didn't you? Admit it. How many of you didn't even notice the door? Some of you didn't. Well, it's here for a reason. This is our 2017 door, okay? And you're going to see a lot of this door. And so what we want you to do in 2017 is make use of this door and this. So we're going to have post-it notes. This door is going to end up in our foyer, and we're going to have post-it notes that you can write, after you share the gospel with someone, for you to write, please pray for. So if I shared the gospel with Joel, because he and I were at a trade show together, and I just happened to sit next to him for a couple of hours, and we kind of hit it off. He's from Arkansas, I'm from Missouri, although they're two different worlds, and you know, we hit it off, and before we parted, for him to come back to San Diego and me to go back to wherever, Timbuktu, I just said, hey, you know, where are you in your spiritual journey? And I share the gospel with him. And he goes, I'll think about that. And I say, I'll follow up with you in a week. You think about what we talked about. So I would come back and I would write, please pray for Joel. And I would take this post-it note and I would stick it firmly on this door. Like that. Now, don't put it up and then take it back down. So pick your spot and put it up there. It'll be in the foyer. And so as we come in during the course of the year to worship our great God, I'd like to see that door covered with post-it notes that exceed 430. I think we can obliterate 430. But this is what the church should be about, is sharing the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. And we all know plenty of people. So you understand what the challenge is? Not one of you. If one of you wants to do 430, you can. We might have a Billy Graham among us. But together, don't you think that's reachable, that you and I together can do that? So let me tell you what my... Thank you. So let me tell you what my plan was this week. And Domingo knows this was my plan. When we were planning all this, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to share the gospel with someone the week leading up to me presenting this challenge. So all week, every day, I would get up and pray, God, would you open a door for me today? Would you bring someone across my path who I could share the gospel with? And so here I am out in public, like I was at Kaiser the other day to visit. And so I'm walking through the hospital, and I'm checking people out. I'm in the elevator. You know, young mom comes in with her newborn on the way home from the hospital with her nurse, and I'm like, so, you know, I try to engage her. So, hey, is this your first baby? No, it's my third. And, oh, well, we're about to have our first granddaughter. And she smiles, and we start talking. Then this nurse says, oh, I'm expecting my first kid. And, but it's only five floors. Maybe if we'd gotten stuck. But, you're going to see post-it notes up here for me. I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not doing. And so there are people in my life who I pray for regularly who need Jesus. And this year, I'm going to do more than pray. I'm going to tell them about Jesus in a way like I haven't before. And I want to invite you to do that as well. Not in a tacky way in any way, but just a winsome way in the context of your relationship. So that's our challenge for the year. Also, another exciting thing that's happening is we have a partnership with Frontiers, the missions organization, and their studio team. They're meeting on our campus, utilizing our missions home, and we're partnering with them as they have 90 days of training for missionary candidates. In fact, I met some of them last Sunday who are headed to India, and some of you might be here now. If you're here from and you're part of the Frontier Studio team, would you mind just raising your hand? I saw a couple of you. We just want to welcome you, and so that's something exciting that started this week. Also, we're going to launch a congregational survey today after this meeting at 12 noon. You can get it on your app, and there'll be a link in my weekly email. There'll be instructions on how you can access it. We'd like all of you who consider College Avenue your home to do this. We spend a lot of time on this. It takes 10 to 15 minutes. We've tested it over and over and over. There are 21 questions. Some are open-ended. Some are demographic. And it will help us as leaders as we plan for the next season of our life together as a church family and recast our church vision. So our preference would be that you would do it electronically because it'll make it a lot easier for us to assimilate the data. But if you prefer not to and want to do it on paper, you can. You can pick it up at the Welcome Center on Sundays. You can also grab a copy here from Bruce Robertson as you leave today. And this survey will be open through the end of the month, midnight on January 31, and it will be a big help to us as we prayerfully recast our church vision for the next season. Next Sunday, I'll begin a series of sermons on the life of Nehemiah, rebuilding a life out of the rubble. Of course, we know Nehemiah built a wall. Little kids know that. Yeah, he built a wall, But he also, God used him to rebuild the lives of God's people. And we're going to focus on how God rebuilds all of our lives out of the rubble of our lives. And we all have rubble in our lives, and we'll find ourselves in seasons where we need rebuilding. And so that will begin next week. We're also having an evening of prayer on Wednesday, March 1st, to launch 40 days of prayer leading up to Easter. We're also having an evening of worship on March 5th, and that Pastor Frank is organizing and building for us. And also, President Scott Rideout from Converge, our new president, will be here on April 30th to preach, and the San Diego State Choir will be here that Sunday as well. And so I'm looking forward to that. So anyway, those are a couple of things just at the beginning of the year that I'm excited about, but the main thing I'm excited about is that door and seeing us share Christ with 430 different people this year. So I want to pray about that, and then I'm going to invite our musicians to come up and lead us as we sing. Our great God, we make plans, but you give the increase, and so we pray that you will expand your kingdom borders through this church family this year, that you will grant us success in sharing the gospel with 430 different people, and that what we do will be above and beyond, through your power, what we could have ever asked or imagined. In Jesus' name, amen.